When you're a youngster and you're used to hearing your parents address you in various ways, you learn when you really better pay attention. And often that's preceded by your full name. When I heard Philip Keith Hill, I knew I better tune in. It works the same way in the Army or with the ball team. Only the sergeant or the coach begin with, "Now listen up." Jesus actually had a way of telling his disciples it was time to tune in. And it's John's gospel that remembers this habit of Jesus. He began with the words, "Amen, amen, amen." Though in our translation it reads, "Truly, truly," or "very truly." It was Jesus' way of saying, "Okay, guys, listen up. I've got something important I need to tell you." Such is the passage we're about to read. These are important words. Now listen up. We're going to be reading in John chapter 14, beginning at verse 12. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we can hear with our ears, but for it to register in the heart, we very much need you to send your Spirit. So send your Spirit, take your word deep within us, and we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. John 14, beginning at verse 12. This is some of what Jesus had to say to his disciples on his last evening with them. "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was 15, my girlfriend began to have some strange symptoms. So her parents took her to the doctor, and the doctor was concerned that there might be something going on in her head. And in fact, there was. There was a tumor. And it was very scary business. We lived in Huntsville, Alabama, and they decided they wanted some better medical care, so they took her to the Mayo Clinic. And they did surgery, and they discovered that the tumor was malignant and that it was so woven with structures of the brain and nerves and whatnot that they couldn't do anything to remove it. So they closed her up and did the only thing they could in 1970, which was treat her with radiation. And though no one said it to us, I think her parents knew and the doctors knew that her prospects were very grim. While she was up at the Mayo Clinic, the church of which we were both a part had a prayer meeting for her, and we gathered, I think it seems to me there were 50 or 60 of us there that evening. We made a big circle of chairs, and we prayed just as hard as we knew how to pray and as wisely as we knew how to pray. And several months later, when she returned to the Mayo Clinic, the cancer was gone, and she's living to this day. Now, maybe the radiation had an impact. I guess it did. But I don't think anyone thought it was going to bring a cure. And what we all knew was that the Lord had moved in a very marvelous way. And we were amazed that our prayers and our very limited faith and insight could be a part of what God was doing. We were amazed, but Jesus was not. He saw that day coming, and many days like it. He saw that his church would actually advance his earthly ministry, that instead of it trailing off after he departed, that it would actually advance. And here's what he said. "You know all those great works that I did? If you believe in me, you'll do even greater works, and a big part of how you'll do it is prayer. So know that whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it." Whatever! Just ask in my name. You know, I'm guessing the disciples were doing like we feel like doing, kind of looking around the room to see who he's talking to. "You're talking to us? With promises like that? Our faith is up and down and all over the map, and most of the time we're not even sure what to pray for. How's it possibly going to be greater than what you did? Well, remember to whom Jesus was speaking there in that upper room. 11 disciples. 11 because one had already left the room to go betray him. And Jesus knew that the rest of his 12 would abandon him and one would deny him. Jesus knew he was not exactly making these promises to stained glass saints. He's making them to a bunch of folks like gathered in this room today. And yet the promises are so extraordinary. So amen, amen. Listen up. This is important. Because Jesus is making some extraordinary promises and he knows to whom he's speaking. Jesus said, "You know all those great works that you saw me do? If you believe in me, you'll do even greater works." Now how can that possibly be? This is the one who died for the sin of the world and rose from the dead and who has reconciled the world to God. Can we do greater works than that? No, actually. What Jesus did is unique. He is the Savior of the world. He has completed what he came to do in that way. That could not have been what Jesus meant. But here's what most Bible scholars believe he did mean. That we don't do qualitatively greater things than Jesus, but we can do quantitatively greater things than Jesus. Think about his life. He was born and raised in Palestine. He carried out the whole of his ministry within a 70-mile strip of land between Galilee and Judea. He had a dozen disciples in his inner circle, a little broader circle of those who were following him. At one point, he was followed by some big crowds, but they began to diminish as they found out the cost of following him, and they all abandoned him by the time he was crucified. So his actual geographic reach was very small, and his numeric impact was very limited until he went away to be with the Father. And he said so himself. He said greater works would come as he departed to go be with the Father and sent his Holy Spirit. And sure enough, 10 days after he ascended to be with the Father, the Holy Spirit fell on his followers. And look what happened. And just on the first day, Peter preached and 3,000 people came to faith in Jesus. And the walk with Jesus went viral after that. The church took the faith around the Mediterranean. It changed the Roman Empire. It has changed the world, and we're part of that. We get to live in his grace and speak his truth everywhere we go. What we do is not greater in quality, but it is greater in quantity. Jesus went away and he sent his Holy Spirit so that instead of him being in one place and one time, now by the power of his Spirit, he is with all of his people in all of the places across all of the centuries, expanding the reach of his kingdom. So that now just in this generation, there are over 2 billion followers of Jesus. Greater works. Amazing. And here's the other promise. He said, "Whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it." Whatever. Just ask in my name. Now let's start with "in my name" and we'll come back to whatever. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? You know, that's how we close our prayers. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's not just a magical abracadabra kind of phrase you tack on to the end of your prayer to make sure it works right. In Jesus' day, names were chosen not just because they sounded melodic to the parents, but because the parents understood that this had something to do with the character and the purpose of this new life. And when a name was given, it almost always had that larger meaning. So it was with the name of Jesus. His parents were instructed to name him Jesus, which literally meant the Lord saves, which was the biggest purpose of his coming. And as we read in the New Testament, he had all sorts of other names as well. Savior, Messiah, Son of God, Lord, and so on. These are more than just tags. They tell us about the character and the purpose of Jesus. So when you pray in his name, you're asking that your prayer be put under the umbrella of his character and his purpose. You're saying, Lord, please answer this prayer in ways that match with who Jesus is and what he's about. And if it doesn't match, just tell me no. Any of you see the movie Bruce Almighty? Goofy movie, as are all Jim Carrey movies. Jim Carrey plays a TV reporter named Bruce, who has a series of mishaps and begins to feel victimized by the world and sort of goes into this rage against God, and he tells God, you know, you could fix my life in 5 minutes if you decided to do it. And the next thing he knows, he's summoned to this empty building where he meets God himself, who's played by Morgan Freeman. And God invites Bruce to try being God himself for a week and see how it works out. So Bruce discovers all these divine powers he suddenly has. He gets for himself this fancy sports car, and then he commands that he have a clear path in the traffic, and it happens so he can just zoom around. He works some revenge on some bullies who once beat him up. And then to impress his girlfriend, he lassos the moon and pulls it a little closer so it'll be bigger in the sky and improve the romance of the moment, not realizing that moving the orbit of the moon changes the gravity and he causes floods in Japan, and it's a little more complicated than he thought. He hears a blizzard of prayer requests coming all at once. He hears all this in his ears and he doesn't know what to do, how to answer them all, but he does out of those prayer requests, he hears a lot of people praying to win the lottery. And so he decides he's going to answer that prayer, which he does for 400,000 people at once who prayed to win the lottery. And so they all won on the same day, which meant they won, what, $2 or $3 each. Now that's a goofy picture of why Jesus joined whatever you ask with in my name. We can't just tack the words in Jesus' name onto the end of any request like it's a magic formula and count on God doing it. We're seeking to pray for whatever is in keeping with his name. But if it is in keeping with his name, Jesus says, don't be timid. Go for it. Whatever you ask in my name, go for it. And as you ask, make sure it's not just your mouth that's doing all the work. Your ears are an essential part of this prayer equation. Remember, your prayers are not about you building your kingdom. Your prayers are about the Lord building his kingdom. And so it's essential that we be dialed in to the Holy Spirit and what he's doing in a particular situation as he would prompt us to pray along with what he's about. So we not only speak our hopes and desires in prayer, we also submit those hopes and desires to the one whose wisdom and timing is greater than our own. That's part of what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. And in practice, it's not just like following a series of steps. It's far more dynamic than that. It's like this ongoing conversation with us and the Lord, where we speak to him our hopes and desires, and at the same time we're listening and adapting our prayer on the fly according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And we have an amazing example of how that works that happened this same evening as Jesus spoke to his disciples there in the upper room. You can look in Matthew 26 as one of the places that described what happens when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And you remember the story. He prayed very earnestly that there would be some other way open before him than to go to the cross. And he asked the Father three times for this. You suppose that maybe Jesus prayed with faith? Well, you know he did. And he prayed with wisdom and insight. But as he prayed, he was also listening so that his whatever you ask request of the Father could be in dialogue with, responding to the larger plan that the Father was unfolding. And as he listened, he came to understand that the Father's plan was for him to go on forward with what he understood the Father was doing and to go to the cross. So he spoke and he listened and he spoke and he listened, this speaking and listening kind of prayer through the evening, agonizing prayer as Matthew's gospel describes it. And he adapted his prayers as he went so that by the time the mob came to arrest him, he knew the answer to the prayer and was praying accordingly. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will be done. Now it works the same with us. Ask for whatever, but as you do, listen for continuing guidance and adapt as you go to keep your prayer in service to the purposes of God. And then you can pray with boldness and pray in the name of Jesus, because you know that your confidence is not just in your little piece of wisdom that you're offering to God in prayer, and it's not just in the fact that you've claimed something in the name of Jesus. Your confidence is in the one who is making use of your prayer and inspiring you by the power of the Holy Spirit to pray in particular ways so that he can accomplish his purpose through you. And we can pray with great boldness knowing that. Now let's have a little lab time to go with the lecture. Lectures on prayer can be helpful, but it's really in lab that you learn what to do with prayer. We're going to pair our whatever request with our sense of how that would work in Jesus' name. So here's your assignment. We're going to pray this morning for Nate and Ganelle Bremer. They're missionaries that we support in North Africa. They've just adopted two babies, Nora and Moses, close to a year old. First months of their lives, they were in an orphanage, so there's a great joy, but also some great challenges with this suddenly new formed family, named Ganelle and these two little ones. And at the same time, they're dealing with a very difficult situation in the courts of their nation. Some months ago, Nate was driving and this guy swerved into him, and in the collision, the fellow's leg was broken. There was no fault at all on Nate for the collision, but this guy realized Nate's an American and there must be some money there. And so he is sued, and the court system there does not exactly work like our court system does. And Nate has met with them again and again, and they can't get this resolved. And now he's been told he cannot leave the country unless it's resolved. And the guy wants a king's ransom as a way of settling this. And it seems to be there's no way forward through this judicially assisted extortion system. And a good many of us have already been praying with Nate and Ganelle. So we're going to pray. I want you to circle up with two or three people or just pray by yourself. We're going to go for 2 or 3 minutes with this, and then I'll gather our prayers up and listen for the Lord to guide you, and then ask for whatever in the name of Jesus. Now, go to it.